Baz Francis comes to us from California, sort of splitting time between here and there. He comes with a solo album called Face That Launched a Thousand Shipwrecks and two bands in tow. Well, not in tow, two bands back in L.A., Mansion Harlots and Magic 8-Ball. But for this one, came in to say hello. We got a chance to meet the artist. Guitar, acoustic guitar in hand, although his work can be much more electric and fleshed out instrumental-wise. We had a chance to sit down with the songwriter, Baz Francis. Let him do his thing for you. Let's do that right now.
My name is Baz Francis, and this is the single from my first solo album, Face That Launched a Thousand Shipwrecks, and it's called Don't Let Me Go On.
Another record broken, no tea and sympathy, inside the coldest season. What burns inside of me? I'm always broke down. I'm always broke down now. To tell a different story, then dress it up the same. Although it pains to tell ya, some things will never change. And I'm always broke down. I'm always broke down. Love comes in many shapes. Now if you wanna talk, I might not wait it for you. If you wanna communicate, when you wanna talk, there might not be an answer. Till that time, don't let me go on. Preach to the empty seats when the people go away. Adventure is in color, your skies are always gray. You always rain down, you always rain down. I kick the bucket over, it always seems to be. When there's a rotten apple, I fell out of the tree. And I always come down, I always come down. Love comes in many shapes. Now if you wanna talk, I might not wait it for you. If you wanna communicate, when you wanna talk, there might not be an answer. Till that time, don't let me go on. No one said it was hard, but the spoon in my mouth had rusted long ago. I thought I'd let you know that if you wanna talk, I might not wait it for you. If you wanna communicate, when you wanna talk, there'll never be an answer. Till that time, don't let me go on. Oh, don't let me go on. Don't let me go on. You don't let me go on. Don't let me go on.
This is a song by my other band, Magic 8-Ball, and it's from our album, Richest Men in the Graveyard, and it's called Eyes of a Fool.
Just a temporary place, momentary, life. Stare into the eyes of a fool to find out that looking back at me in the mirror, I'm finding I'm caught between the arms of it. So I'm feeling they won't let me go into the great beyond, another wider space. And the home we have, it's just a temporary place, momentary in this light. Stare into the eyes of a fool to find out that looking back at me in the mirror, I'm finding I'm caught between the arms of it. So I'm feeling they won't let me go, and I know just staying here is where I wanna be. And I know time to go.
This is a song from the forthcoming Mansion Harlots album, and it's called Poppy Bell.
What you became, I change, man, but you and I love me just the same. And at 6 years of age, we're reading from the same page. You're better than I'll ever become, 'cause I will always know a good reason to remind her so. And that's just as well that I've got enough to say and tell to Poppy Bell. Not what you've got here. We'll see the snow around this time next year. The winter flowers have grown. And the stones that we toss cross, you belong to every season, 'cause I will always know a good reason to remind her so. And that's just as well that I've got enough to say and tell. It's just as well I've got enough to say. That's just as well that I've got enough to say and tell to Poppy Bell.
Well, we have a number of traditions in New Mexico, and they're not all about the homegrown musician. Every once in a while, a musician comes our way who is actually seasoned and established in parts far beyond New Mexico. I'm thinking of David Berkeley. I'm thinking even of the Hansom family. And then they land here, Boris McCutcheon as well. And it's like starting all over again. And here we have another case in the person of Baz Francis, who is coming to us. Don't let the accent fool you. He's coming to us from Los Angeles. Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, we got to hear sort of a range of your acoustic side from three different projects. How far removed are what we're hearing from what the full Magic 8 Ball, for instance, might sound like?
I think with Magic 8 Ball, I've always prided that on being a power trio. It has gone up to being four members in the past, but we've also not been one of these bands that has stayed in that pigeonhole of we've got to do rock. We've done acoustic sessions, we've done semi-acoustic shows, and we liked in England to keep things varied. Over in America so far, the Magic 8 Ball gigs have been both electric and acoustic, and so I think what you're hearing is what should be the case with a lot of singer-songwriters is you're hearing the heart of the songs when you hear them played, stripped, as it were. And I think a good song is a good song regardless of its presentation, if it's presented well.
So you are really just a few weeks into living in Albuquerque, and you're kind of splitting time between here and Los Angeles, and you're picking up gigs outside of New Mexico. We're going to see if that can change before the year is out.
I hope so.
So tell me about what led you to make music in this particular way. You are too young to have been even growing up in England in the 70s in the shadow of some of those sort of really powerful pop music. But you have these very strong, to me, very strong pop sensibilities that you're bringing in structurally, at least in the songs. So where does that come from?
Well, I in school I was terribly uncool because I never liked what was popular at the time, and it wasn't a statement. It was just my genuine loves, and in fact, I was in a store this morning and I heard my favorite song from that period, my 13-year-old, 14-year-old period, which was Too Busy Thinking About My Baby by Marvin Gaye, whilst everyone else was listening to grunge and Britpop. And then when everyone stopped listening to that, that's when I listened to it, because I got into the music on its own merits rather than the fashion statement. So I was always one step behind the fashion, and it meant that that great music soundtracked different periods of my life. And it was kind of a blessing. And getting into music through Motown as opposed to rock gave me a different sense of sensibilities to some of my peers, because it was a whole different approach to singing. So if you listen to some of the vocal trills that I do, it's really inspired by Marvin Gaye or Stevie Wonder rather than a rock singer. And then I got into rock in my mid-teens, and rather than just dismiss all of my influences and loves up to that point, I merged them over time. And I think that, you know, Kurt Cobain and Marvin Gaye, you know, I see them in the same bracket, you know, because good music is good music.
Well, where does your writing come from? Are you like principal songwriter in these other groups, Magic 8 Ball and Mansion Harlots?
I wrote 10 of the 12 songs on the Mansion Harlots album, and I'm also the last two. The Magic 8 Ball albums, I wrote everything on the last two albums and everything bar one co-write on the first album. So that gives you an indication as to my involvement with that. And with my solo project too, all of the songs are written by me alone. So, yes, I'm a songwriter by trade.
The solo album, which is the most recent, I mean, there's more. There's another solo album in the works. There's another group album in the works. But what we have sort of as your introduction to this area is Face That Launched a Thousand Shipwrecks.
I do indeed have one.
And it has, it's not a solo acoustic album. I mean, you have a whole band in there, but it has some of those qualities that we're hearing in these other songs as far as wordplay and finished songs. I imagine these songs don't just sort of spill out easily.
They take deliberation. I used to be a slow songwriter, and then I sped up. And one thing that I like to do is combine the spontaneity with a sense of utilizing old ideas as important. What I mean by that is, just because I might be good at coming up with fresh ideas in the moment, it doesn't mean that an old idea is all of a sudden redundant. And if an idea stays in my head for a long period of time, then there has to be something to that.
So you're one of those songwriters who has like a suitcase full of germs and half-written ideas.
Exactly.
And that you reset. Well, some of the best around there will do that.
And some people say, oh, my old stuff's rubbish, and I love my new stuff, so forget about that. And I don't think that is necessarily the right approach. If you have a good idea, sometimes it just takes a bit longer to sort of grow in the pot, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. So some ideas that you hear on an album like Face That Launched a Thousand Shipwrecks took a few months of gestation, and some of them were very recent to the recording sessions. So it was Each Side of the Night was written very close to me going into the studio to start working on the album, and something like Pulling the Other One has its origins from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So there's the best of both worlds, I hope.
Now, speaking of the best of a world, you're after we talk, we're speaking in September right now. Mm-hmm. You have gigs in Arizona, you have gigs in LA, you're setting up to record a new album back in LA. But here you are in Albuquerque. Is this a place where you think you might just sort of coop and create, or are you looking to bring your music out either as a solo performer or maybe with some partners?
I'm looking to do anything that's creatively stimulating. And if that, and I'm, you know, I'm looking for other musicians, and I'm looking to write and to record here. And I don't like to close doors. You know, I don't like to say, I'm here for one reason. Mm-hmm. Because in the past, I've gone into a situation very, you know, convinced that it was going to end up one particular way. And then an opportunity arises in the middle of it, and it takes me on a course that I can't imagine having not gone down. So when I've been out on my travels around Albuquerque, I've been looking for not just shows and supporters of local music like yourself, but also musicians and people with the right spirit and the right know-how with whom I can record and possibly tour as well, because that's a plan I have for the new year, to go up to Seattle, starting from here, and do a big loop of the West Coast. But before I get to planning something like that, it needs, like some of the older songs, a bit of gestation, because you don't just simply jump in the car and do these things. And I'd love to find, because that will be a solo tour, I'd love to find a songwriter who would be a suitable fit to go on that trip with. But, you know, I'm not going to force a square peg in a round hole.
Sure. Now, what brings you here is something quite lovely, which is your wife has a really good gig.
She has an amazing gig. She's teaching at UNM, and I'm exceptionally proud of her for the work she does. And she said, we're going to up sticks to Albuquerque for a short while. And I thought, okay, let's give this a go. And it's the hometown or former hometown of one of my heroes, Mike Judge. So, yeah, I'm your new Beavis. You can find me online. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. But the best place to find me, if you want to be introduced to my music, is YouTube. YouTube.com/ I Love Magic 8-Ball. And that's all spelt, no number. And on Facebook, there's Baz France's Music. There's I Love Magic 8-Ball. And...
okay, that's going to do it for us. Baz Francis in town. We'll keep track of him as he goes through his tour, comes back from his tour, and starts to play out. Again, YouTube is the best place. BazFrancis. We'll leave you with something from that brand new album, solo album of his, Face That Launched 1,000 Shipwrecks. Stay tuned for Route 66.